Well, let's get into the Word. So I've entitled the message, Taking One with the Team. Not taking one for the team, taking one with the team. Because we're going to talk about teamwork today. There's just so much that I could say, I don't have to say, I don't want to say in some ways, because I just want to let the Lord speak. So let me start out. Summer's coming to an end, but summer reading is still going strong. Amen. I think we're going to go into October with our summer reading because I believe that God is speaking so strongly to us and that He is really challenging us in some of these things. So we're not going to shorten the book. What's our theme? Somebody should know it. Strong through the storm. Amen. Amen. Have you been, and so here's what we've been doing. Have you been making Jesus the center of everything in your life? This is why I believe the Lord is really attacking. This is why I believe that the enemy is really attacking. This is why I believe that the enemy is really bringing a storm into our lives, into our church, because he knows that if we make Jesus the center of everything in our life, everything that we do in this church, guess what? He's in trouble. He's in trouble in your life. He's in trouble in the situations of your life. He's in trouble of the attacks of your life. He's in trouble. And so this is what we're trying to do here at this church. This is what we've been focusing on this summer. Making Jesus the center. Making Jesus the center of our worship. Making Jesus the center of our gatherings. Making Jesus the center of our lives. Our men are in a great study. It's taking us a lot longer than what we thought it would. And it's called Standing Tall. And it's James, and how we stand tall as men, and the Bible studies and the discussions that we have are so in depth into what God's speaking about in our lives. And I think we have two or three more of those sessions before we go into something else. It's been longer than what we expected it to be, but it's been really good as we focus on making Christ the center of our lives. We're learning more about Him. We're learning about how He works. We're learning about how the situations and circumstances are affected by God's hand upon our lives. He's strengthening our faith, amen? He's strengthening our trust in Him. He's doing something. I pray this is happening in your life. It is happening in mine. It's not just that book that's doing it. It's that book speaking with the Word of God and God moving in my life, that I'm seeing things and trusting in things. We're learning how to move when He leads us to do so. Getting over our fear, getting over our trepidation. In other words, God says, I want you to do this. Oh, we freeze, right? I want you to say this to that prayer. Oh, but Lord, I'm in Wawa. God, I'm in Walmart. God, I'm in school. God, I'm in this. God says, no, now's the time. Now's the time. Now's the time. Get busy about it. And we all worry about those things. And there's some trepidation. There's some fear. And the Lord is leading us through those things. We're becoming more passionate about prayer. At least I pray that we are. Because we want to become more fervent. We want to become more effective in our prayers. There's situations and circumstances I'm going to talk about that we really need just to bombard with prayer and see God move in them. We want to be moved by the same compassion for people that our Savior Jesus Christ is moved by. You know, you'd see Jesus and He'd be worn out. I mean, He would minister all day to thousands of people and He would begin to walk away. And the Bible will say, but Christ was moved by compassion for the people. And you know what Jesus did? Yes, He would spend time with the Father, but He would always return to the people because He was moved by compassion for them. His heart broke for them. They were a sheep without a shepherd, the Bible says. They didn't understand. The religious leaders were making them jump through hoops that they didn't need to be jumping through. And they were killing these people to make them religious. And Jesus didn't want religious people. Jesus wanted people that were just sold out and on fire for Him. And so Jesus teaches, you know, He just spent time and poured into them and just loved on them. And we want the compassion or that love to be expressed here first, but then to affect our hearts so that it goes out to our workplaces, so that it goes out to our homes, so that it goes out to our communities, and that it affects people wherever we're at. And we just want that. We're just expecting that, and that it would flow out these doors as we go out these doors. And I pray, Brother David Schilling, I asked Dave to make that sign and out at the door. And please look up at that door whenever you walk out and be reminded that you're walking out into the harvest field, that this church service is not just so you feel good about yourself. This church service isn't just so that we can clap our hands and get Holy Ghost goosebumps. Yes, God heals us in this place, but God does something in this place so that we walk out into that world and that we change people's lives. Amen. And that's truly what it's all about. So don't forget that and remember that. We're realizing that we are here for one purpose. And guess what, church? It's not our purpose. You know, we all think we have a purpose life. I want to do this. I want to do that. This is my bucket list, right? Amen. This is my bucket list, right? And so, but you know what? It's not even about the bucket list. It's about God's purposes. That's why we're here. Because if you remember the message, we don't belong here. We should be gone. We're God's people. We're kingdoms of we're children of the kingdom of heaven. But we're here because Jesus has a work for us to do. And we're going to be here and stay here until that work is done. And so if you're looking forward to heaven and you're looking forward to Christ's return, I can tell you how you can quicken the return of Jesus Christ. That is, be the example that he's called you to be. Minister the people that he's called you to minister to. And when every man and woman on this earth has heard of Jesus Christ and had a chance and an opportunity to receive him as Lord and Savior, whether they do or not, Christ is going to return. But I also got to tell you this, don't think that we're going to hold them off by not doing that, because there is a date that is set with the Father that the Father knows, only the Father knows, Jesus doesn't know, that he is going to return. And I believe that it is very soon. And then the last 2 weeks, we looked at the way that the devil mocks and tries to belittle the Holy Spirit of God. He tries to counterfeit that Holy Spirit. He lies and deceives and leads people astray. But in the midst of that, God is still calling out for our hearts. He wants us to know that he still loves us. And though the enemy has tried to pervert what God does, God wants us to realize that he never gives up on us and that he will always allow his love and power to change our lives and to affect our lives for good. Amen? Let's get into it today. This week in our reading of chapter 10, four words stuck out to me. I got your back. I got your back. As we already know, yesterday was the 20th year anniversary of September 11, 2001. It's one of those things I could never understand how my grandparents remembered where they were when Pearl Harbor happened. I could never understand how people would talk about the shooting of John F. Kennedy and where they were until this happened. And then I get it, because I'll never forget. I was down in Lancaster, what's the name of it, where we always used to go, Eden Resort. Foursquare was having meetings there, the pastors were all there, and we were in our meeting, and we broke from our meeting for a little break to go get coffee, to go to the bathroom, whatever, and as I walked through the foyer, I saw everybody glued to the television and saw a replay of the first airplane going into the Twin Towers. And I just remember so strongly, it felt as if it was the enemy, maybe it was the Lord, reminding me, but I'll never forget these words. I'm watching this in the foyer of the hotel, and in my heart struck these words, you're in there, and I think I spoke a message about this lots of years ago, you're in there planning how you're going to win the world while I'm out here destroying your world. And if it was the Lord telling me that, it was him just to remind me that the enemy's at work. But it felt more like the enemy was speaking into my heart, that he wanted to bring this fear. Here we are as a group of pastors. We relate, right? We relate. Almost 3,000 people, just short of 3,000 people died that day. Many others died after that. Our emergency workers from cancers and things like that, and those that gave their lives for that. And here we are as a group of churches gathering together in a posh hotel room to discuss how we're going to win the world, and the world is already being destroyed by the enemy, by terrorism and by fear. And I'll never forget that. And it's so clear to me. I want to say it was a Tuesday. I don't remember that. I think it was. I think that was the day. It was, right? And I'll never forget. And I couldn't get a hold of my wife. I wanted to make sure she was okay. I mean, she's in New Jersey, she's in work, and you know, the lines all went down, you know, and everything, and I couldn't get out of there quick enough to try to get home and just to be with my family and the church and those things. But in all the negatives of that day, I remember the positives that came out of it. The church was strengthened. We didn't see as much growth in our church because of the area we come from, but churches in cities and churches in places where there were a ton of people, they were crowded and jam-packed for weeks and months after this happened. So the church was strengthened. The church came together, and the church supported our communities. The church prayed together and supported the families of the emergency and the emergency workers. The church worshiped together, and the church gave God glory for what he was doing in our midst as a country, even in the midst of burning buildings and skyscrapers falling and those types of things. Our nation was strengthened. The nation came together and stood side by side to support each other. It was an amazing thing to see. The nation came together and worked side by side. They worked side by side to find survivors, to find the dead, to work with the families, and to do things that needed to be done. The nation came together and fought side by side to defeat the enemy who had tried to ruin us. You know what? We had each other's backs. We cared about one another. 20 years later, COVID hits, and I don't see the same things happening. And it worries me. The church wasn't strengthened, but the church ran in fear. And we closed down, and we now rightfully taking care of people. You know, I get this. Listen, I get that this is not a picnic. I get that. I think sometimes when I say the things I say, you're thinking, well, Pastor, no, I get that. I've had friends that are in dire, that are facing things. Pastor Dennis today. So I get that. But I'm not going to run in fear of that. I just refused it, but the church did. We ran in fear, and we didn't come together, but we allowed man and we allowed disease to separate us. Now, maybe rightfully so, but I don't know. Today, some churches have never opened. There are some churches that have never reopened, will never reopen, because they closed. They couldn't make ends meet. They couldn't do what needed to be done. Thank goodness we don't have any debt. So we don't have to worry about paying for a building. We don't have to worry about paying for the ministry house. We have no debt. And so praise God for that. The first thing we did when I became the pastor here, we had $600 in our general account when I became the pastor here. First thing we did was took everything we could and paid off any debt that we owed. You know, God has blessed us today. Praise God, he's done it. Amen. The nation is definitely not strengthened. The nation did not strengthen the way it did after 9/11. This sickness became a way for those who are power hungry to exert that power over us. They have divided us right down the middle and are even looking for greater ways to continue the division. And that's not my message today. That's not where I'm going with this today. It's just amazing to me how far we have regressed in 20 years. America's great. I love being an American. I love this country. I love what we stand for. I love the way we work together, but I'm not seeing that. I'm seeing people blaming people. I'm seeing people throwing things at people. And so, like I said, that's not today's message. I just can't figure out the nation situation. I can't figure it out, but I sure am concerned about the church. The nation's not my problem. I'll pray for it. I'll do what I need to do to speak about it, but that's not my problem. I'm concerned about the church. I'm concerned about you and I. I'm concerned about our brothers in other churches and our sisters in other churches and things, because we're not the only ones. Things have happened. Things are happening. We have seen this thing wreak havoc in our own little fellowship. It's not as much about people watching from home. It's not about even the size of what we are right now. What really is getting me is the division that we have allowed the enemy to bring to us. That's what's getting to me. The division that we have allowed the enemy to bring to us. I believe that it is a reminder, as Pastor Jim Cimbala brings out in this chapter 10, that the church needs to be not just fervently praying, but fervently praying for one another. We need to close this aisle, and we need to be praying for the person on the left and the right hand of us. We need to be interceding for those whom we love so much, whom God has placed in our lives in this church. Romans 8:34 says, "Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." Get this. Pastor Jim brings this out in such a lovely way. Jesus went almost instantly from being our Savior to being our intercessor. Do you hear that? He knew that as soon as the job was done of saving our spirits, he knew that there would be another job that needed to take place. Because how many have found out you cannot live this Christian life on your own? You need somebody interceding for you. You need somebody involved in your life, discipling you. You need somebody there in the situations of your life. And so Jesus, not very long, he's not on earth very long, okay? Almost instantly, from the time he raises from the dead, now he's our Savior, ascends to the right hand of the Father. Martha, Mary, or whoever it is, Mary, don't touch me. I've not ascended to the Father yet. I don't have my heavenly body yet. Okay, so don't touch me yet. I've not ascended to the Father. But they go with him. He ascends to heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father to become our intercessor, because he knew that not only was salvation important, but we would never make it as Christians if there wasn't somebody interceding for us, if there wasn't somebody praying for us, if there wasn't somebody, you know, and we know the prayer, Lord, don't take the, Father, don't take them out of this earth, leave them in the earth, but keep them from the attacks of the enemy. Keep them from being, from falling victim to what the enemy wants to do. Keep them from falling to the weaknesses of their lives and the weaknesses of their hearts. Keep them. He knew that while we were trying to live this saved life of Christianity, we would need someone to pray us through. And I think he also knew that we wouldn't be able to count on one another as much as he would like. Because let's face it, what happens? We get busy, don't we? And we all have excuses. Oh, yeah, I'll pray for you. I do this all the time. Yeah, I'll pray for you. And if I don't take my phone out and add you to my prayer list right then. So if I tell you I'm going to pray for you and you don't see me grab my phone, please make me grab my phone and put you on my prayer list. Because I mean well. And I will pray for you. But the fact of the matter is, sometimes if I don't have it before me, I forget. Now, thank God when I am walking around this building, he does bring people to remembrance. And I thank God for that. That's the Holy Spirit. But many times I tell people I'm going to pray for them and I forget. Why? The same excuses you have. Busyness of life. Sickness in our own bodies. Tiredness. Distractedness. Let's face it. Laziness. Whatever you want to call these things, we have all told somebody, hey, I'll pray for you, and forgotten to pray for them. And we were the ones that Christ raised up. We were the ones that they felt they could share that situation with, and that we would carry them through, that we would intercede for them, and we failed them. So praise God, at the right hand of the Father today is our Savior Jesus Christ, who is making intercession for us, because he knows that not all the time are the Christians going to do it for one another. But that, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. But that doesn't mean that we don't need to pray for one another. And that doesn't mean that we don't intercede for one another. We need to. I love what Pastor Jim brings out, that when we are in, that when we are in intercession, we are closest to Jesus. Because at that moment, we are doing exactly what he's doing. Amen? So, you know, we hear of intercessory prayer, and sometimes it scares us. And we know that we have an intercessory team. But I want you to know, every Christian is called to intercessory prayer. I'm not saying you need to be a part of the intercessory team. I'm not saying that. Because in our intercessory team, they know personal things about people's lives that you couldn't tell everybody, nor would somebody want out there. But we know when we share it with them that it goes no further but to God. Amen? And so he says, when we are in intercession, we are closest to Jesus because we're doing what he is doing. Hopefully that excites your heart today. And hopefully that ignites something in your heart that would say, well, then, Pastor, then God, I need to get into some intercessory prayer. I need to, what is intercessory prayer? Listen, intercessory prayer is this: you interceding, coming between God and man for someone else. That's what it is. Let's not make it some deep thing. Let's not make it some things that, No, intercessory prayer is you standing between God and man. You're interceding for that person, bringing them before God, because for whatever reason at that moment, they don't have the strength, they don't have the ability, or you know what, they just need somebody to hold hands with them and walk them through this situation. That's what intercessory prayer is, in a nutshell. There's more depth to it. There's greater things to it. You can search the scriptures. It's so easy today. And maybe we'll teach on it. But the fact of the matter is, that's what intercessory prayer is. We had Brother Dennis back in the hospital. He should be with us today. We had Brother Dennis back in the hospital with the effects of this COVID sickness. We need to intercede for him. We need to pray for him. He should be in the pulpit today. He was scheduled to be here. This is the second time this year that he was scheduled to be here and could not make it. He has a word for this church that from the beginning of the year, when he told me what he was bringing, I was so excited. And he's not been able to deliver it here. And I believe that's why the enemy is hindering him. Because not only is he speaking that word to this church, to other churches as well. And God is hindering him from being able to do that. There's something that he needs to speak here. Twice this year, he's not been able to come. How many know that's the enemy? How many know words of God must be on time sometimes? They must be timely to be effective. And so we need to intercede for Brother Dennis. We need to intercede for his health. We need to believe that this pneumonia will go, that it will not affect these lungs, and that he will rise up, and that he will have the strength that he needs to travel and speak to these churches the word that God has placed upon his heart for the Christians to receive this year. Amen? In the midst of what we're going through. Would somebody rise up right now and pray for Pastor Dennis? Go ahead.
Lord, we bring Pastor Dennis before you. We know that you are powerful.
Yes, Jesus.
We thank you for this opportunity that you give us to intercede.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you for the power that you have placed in our hearts.
Amen.
We thank you for Dennis. We thank you for everything that he has done.
Yes, God.
Our pastor, our brother, we lift him up to you.
Yes, Jesus.
Fill his lungs with oxygen.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Fill his body with the healing that he needs. And we pray against.
Amen, Jesus. We come against them in Jesus' name.
We pray against
them. Raise up
that.
A standard, yes.
Bring him to us.
Yes, Lord.
Bring the word that we need to hear.
Yes, Jesus.
Do not let the enemy hinder him anymore.
Yes, God.
We pray this in your name.
Amen. 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 Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. There are situations in our own church body that I cannot go into. Situations between people in our church. People with offenses. People dealing with sicknesses. Right now we have Sister Brandy. This sweet young girl, young woman who is, had given her heart to Jesus. I watched Brandy, I don't know if she's on today, but if she is, that's fine. I'm not going to say anything. She better be. Brandy, I love you. You know that. I watched Brandy come into this church as a observer. I watched her watch us very closely to see if we were real. Because she had been involved with people who were not real. And she needed to see that this thing was something that could be lived out, something that meant something. I've watched her take OSL and I've watched her grow in the things of God. I've watched her give her life to Jesus. I've watched her come to a place where she is going to be baptized. And then I've seen the enemy just wham with this thing, this situation in her brain that causes her to have these little strokes that's dangerous. And the surgery that she's going to go through in just a couple weeks is dangerous. And so we need to intercede for her. We need to believe for her. We need to believe that the doctor, that God's going to guide these doctors' hands and that this is going to be a full release of our sister and this pressure and whatever it is in the brain that she needs and to happen. And so I'm just going to ask if somebody would pray for Brandy today and just lift her up. You say, Pastor, this is different today. This is what the Lord laid upon my heart at 10 o'clock last night, that we need to be an intercessory church. Yes, God. Yes, Lord. Yes, God. Yes, God. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. We have Pastor Rick downstairs on security right now. I'm not going to go into personal things. He'll share with you what he wants to share with you. He's standing in faith for a situation, what could be a very serious situation in his body. He's trusting God. I got to speak with him at the wedding the other night, and he's trusting God in this. But I want you to know that this is a serious situation, and that we want to pray for our brother. And I would call him up. I don't think we need to lay hands upon him today. We've done that. But I do want to intercede for him today. Would somebody pray for Brother Rick? I know you don't know the situation. Or if you do know the situation, we don't want to share it unless he releases that. But could we pray for Pastor Rick today? Sister Maria? Then we'll give you a mic so the people online can hear. I'm sorry. We should have done that earlier. My wife's thinking.
Father in heaven.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Jesus. He said, Father, if two agreed in something, Lord, and believe in the name of Jesus,
yes,
it shall be done. Father, we sent your word to heal our diseases.
Amen. Amen.
You are the Lord, our healer.
Yes,
we present
are.
To you the whole church, Father God, Pastor, Father, in the name of
Jesus,
you made every part of his body.
Amen.
And
amen.
Father, you can change anything and
fix
it in the name of Jesus.
Yes, you did, Jesus.
Who
amen.
The Son sets free is
free
indeed.
Amen.
And no weapon formed against him will prosper. Father, we thank you in advance for the healing of his body. And we thank you in advance for the healing of everyone that's sick in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Sister Maria, who just prayed, dealing with blood clots in her lungs. Again, a side effect of COVID that she had so long ago. We're believing they're going to dissolve totally. We're believing that this body is not going to manufacture any of those. We're believing that the medications are going to begin to work. She's also got another situation in her body that she shared with us today. I want to pray for her today. If there's some of you around who want to lay hands on her, go ahead. Lay hands on her today. She's here. But somebody would pray for her. Would somebody please pray for Sister Maria today in Jesus' name? Intercede for her. Teresa?
Father, we thank you for your faithfulness and your love, Lord. We know that you know what's happening in our lives, in our country, in our homes, in this world. And we just ask, Father, that you continue to show your love for us. My sister's been sick for a very long time, praying for others, Lord, and staying faithful for service. I just pray, Lord, that this body is healed, so all the glory and honor be yours, Lord, with a testimony that will blow this world off. Really are, Lord. Please show yourself, Lord, in her healing is needed in this church, and restore us, Lord, this nation, this body, and the body of Christ. In Jesus' name I pray.
One that's very dear to my heart, my buddy Tony's not here today. His wife, Flossie, got taken to the hospital. She is not doing well. He has taken her home against the doctor's best advice. They wanted her in rehabilitation. I don't know the whole situation. She has cancer. This is the second bout of cancer that she's been through. And there's some things going on that I don't understand totally all of it. But I know that it affects Anthony's heart. And it affects my heart then. And I'm going to be careful. I don't know that Flossie would ever watch this. But if she does, Flossie, I would never say anything to hurt you. But Flossie has been through a situation many years ago where she's hurt as a mother. She lost a child. And in that, God has become the target. And she didn't want anything to do or hear. And this has been Anthony and I's battle in the spirit realm. But Eileen went to visit her in the hospital. And we said to Eileen, she's not going to be open to hear what you have to say. Don't force yourself upon her. And Eileen went in and found a very open Flossie to what she prayed over her. This may be Flossie's time of salvation. We need to pray for her. We need to pray for Anthony. Would somebody lift them up today? Praise God.
Lord, we just thank you that Tony is coming to church, Lord God, that you've brought him here. The way that he met Pastor, Lord God, was just a miracle, Lord God. And we pray that this would be the time for his wife to come to know you, Lord God, and to deal with her broken heart, Lord God, to deal with the things that she's held on to for so long, Lord God. We pray for healing as well, Lord God, if that be your will. Lord God, but you're not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to know you, Lord God. And, you know, time is, you know, held back for those things. It's, I think it says in the same scripture, Lord God, that people would come to know you, that you would just, whatever it takes in her heart, work in her heart, Lord God, through your Holy Spirit, because your Holy Spirit is the one that draws people to you, Lord God. So we just pray for that. We lift her up, Lord God, and especially for healing now and salvation, you know, whether she's healed or not at this time, Lord God. We just lift that up to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would somebody just intercede for this problem downstairs? This thing is aggravating me. Would somebody just intercede just for the situation that we have downstairs? You know, it affects our ministry to the children. It affects what we do downstairs. And if it gets worse and worse, it's going to affect the building in greater ways. So would somebody pray for that? Pablo?
Father, we depend on you. We depend on your promises. And the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with supplication and thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to God. Let the peace of God, the peace of God, and that's what we all have. So we use this for situations when we get attacked. We use this, we use the word of God, but we have a church. We have a church body who God has given gifts. So all the gifts that are here are going to be used, that we will get the gifts that we were given by God, whether it be with our hands, with our minds, or financially. So we pray to you, Lord, today, that these gifts can be used to find these problems, to take care of these problems, and any problems that occurs in the church. And we pray, and we all pray for all the prayers that we made today, that we know that the intercessor is there praying for us and listening to our prayers. So we thank you, Jesus, for this, all this, and their promises, promises that we believe in our hearts, and we believe in you. All this in Jesus' name.
Is God. Those prayers were not for fillers. I still have a message, so don't worry about that. It wasn't Pastor Ken didn't have something. They're not fillers. They were important. They were important that we teach, that we let these things become teaching moments. Amen? And that we get involved and respond to the Word of God. And there's others. And if I've forgotten you, it's please. It's not that I forgot. It's just right now, it's just those were the ones the Lord really impressed upon my heart. And so here's the deal. You know, we got the flood downstairs. We got the fall festival coming. It's not resources that we lack. We have the finances. It's not the resources. We have people who can come in and do things. We have people that can come in and will use their expertise. And they will use their giftings to fix these things and make them happen. What we are lacking in right now at Abundant Living Church is a closeness and a togetherness in doing all of these things. That's what we're lacking in right now. That's what COVID has done. Or COVID has added to. Let me say it that way. We need to be interceding for these things. We need to be putting our hands to these things. And I would say just please join us because we want to do it together. We want to seek God together. When we pray together as a team, we will witness together amazing victories. Amen? When we pray together as a team, we will witness together amazing victories. In our men's prayer, Pablo was keeping a list for a while. I don't know if he still keeps it, of things we prayed for and things that God answered. You were doing that for a while, right? Yes, I knew it was you. And it's amazing. We get to rejoice as men when those prayers are answered. And we get to say, wow, we prayed for that 2 months ago. We prayed for that last month. And look what God has done. Amen. And we get to celebrate the amazing victories together. Now, those of you who weren't in that prayer meeting, you don't get to realize all the stuff that God is doing because you missed out on the prayer. You still get to enjoy the victory, but it's a greater victory when you have poured yourself into praying for it. Amen. It's not enough to have intercessors in our church. We need a team of intercessors praying together. And I know we have an intercessory team. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about nights when we gather together and we pray together. And we see this in the early church. This is how they prayed. Acts 1:14. These, talking about the church, all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So this church came together and they prayed together and they sought God together because they understood their prayers were much more multiplied and strengthened and had greater effect when they came together. We need corporate prayer meetings, church. We need corporate times in God's presence. Pray for your pastor. I need to know how to navigate these. I need to know how to make these happen in the atmosphere that we're dealing with. We need times where His Holy Spirit moves. We need prayer meetings where His Holy Spirit speaks. We need prayer times together where His Holy Spirit leads. And people would say, well, Pastor, I can't pray in a public setting. Or I don't know what to say. Michael, I'm going to call you out here, and I hope you're okay with this. I watched Michael come to our men's prayers. And I watched Michael feel a little nervous about it. Because he didn't know how to, he felt like, you never told me this. I just sensed this in you. So I could be totally wrong. And if I'm wrong, you say, Pastor, what are you saying? But I watched Michael come here with a little fear in his heart in regards to being in part of our prayer. Because I don't think that he felt very comfortable in praying in public. But I've watched Michael over months and months and months begin to take part in our prayer. begin to pray for some of the situations and circumstances. And I've watched him go out of this church in those prayer nights, or those men's prayer nights. I watched him go out different than when he came in. And I've watched a joy in his life. And I've watched an excitement in his life. And I hope I'm speaking truth here. I'm just saying what I saw. I could be totally wrong. 100% correct. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. So we, you know, Pastor, I don't know how to pray in public. Pastor, I don't know what to say. Pastor, I get nervous and I lose focus. Look what Paul tells us in Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So the fear of public praying, not knowing what to pray for, not knowing what to pray or prayer, that's all part of our weaknesses here that Paul talks about. The Spirit, but he says here, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. And the Spirit makes intercession for us, not just for us, but also through us. And so I'm going to tell you, God's no respecter of persons. What he's done for Michael Moda, he can do for any one of you that are saying, boy, I don't know if I could go to a prayer meeting. And you know what? Mike just sat in a pew for a while and just bowed his head and prayed to himself and, you know, but supported us in prayer. That's all he did for a few months. Until one day, I'm up here and I hear, wait a minute. That's Mike praying. Wow, that's exciting for a pastor. Because nothing else did that but the Holy Spirit worked through his weaknesses and prayed through him. That's great. God will do that for any one of you. Amen? He will do that for any one of you. So let's give those excuses up right now. What about COVID, Pastor? I believe that if we are in a prayer meeting where the Holy Spirit is moving, that's been called of the Holy Spirit, where God is speaking, that we can forget about COVID. I'm not saying we're going to be all over each other. I'm not saying we're going to just baptizing one another. We're going to be very careful. We have the room in this building to spread out. But Matthew 18:19-20, again I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. What does that say? That says we start our meetings off, and we start our prayer meetings off, and we start any other meeting off with, Lord, this thing is subject to the name of Jesus Christ. And we command that it will not touch us, that it will not come against us, that it will not spread amongst us. And I got to tell you, God's been faithful to that prayer whenever we prayed it. And so let that fear go. He will keep us safe. Psalm 91:1-6, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler, listen, and from the perilous pestilence. COVID is a perilous pestilence. Amen. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. God's got COVID covered. Please don't let that be an excuse for not being here. Please don't let that be an excuse for not being a part of what God is doing. And there are ways that we can pray in this building, and there are ways that we can do church in this building, that we can keep you safe. We can do things with space if needs be. And if you're there and that's where you're at, you let us know. We will do what we can to make you comfortable in being here and being a part of what God is doing. Intercession always moves God's heart. I need you to know this. Intercession always moves God's heart. God is about to destroy the people of Israel. He's mad. He's furious. He says, why did I bring them out of Egypt? They're doing their own stuff. Moses, I'm going to destroy them. And Moses, I'm going to make a new nation out of you. You know what Moses does? He prays. He intercedes. He goes between God and man. He says, God, they're your people. God, if you kill them right now, if you do away with them, there are other nations that are going to say, oh, how powerful is their God? He says, this is not what you want to do. They're your people. Do you know that that prayer, that intercession changes God's heart? And God comes back to Moses and says, you're right. I'm not going to kill them. Man, I'm mad as a hornet at them. I'm not going to go with them right now, because if I do, I'm probably going to smite them. But Moses, lead them. I'll take them to the promised land. Prayer, intercessory prayer, changes God's heart. In Isaiah talks about watchmen being on the wall. Watch me. This is a picture of intercessory prayer if you don't know this. This is what God is telling Isaiah to speak about, intercessory prayer. The watchmen on the wall. If you know anything about the walled cities, they had watchmen on the walls. And the watchmen would intercede for the people. They would watch for the enemy, and they would let the people know when the enemy was coming. And they would alert the people to the enemy. And the people would rise up and get their arms, and they would go out and fight the enemy and have the victory. But Isaiah says if there's no watchmen on the wall, the people aren't warned. If there's no watchmen on the wall, the enemy comes in and devours. We need watchmen on the walls of Abundant Living Church. We need people that will rise up and look out for the attacks of the enemy. And when we see a brother or sister being attacked, that we sound the alarm, that we get on the phone and we say, listen, pray for brother so-and-so. Don't even go into the detail. We don't want it to be about gossip. We want it to be about just praying for a brother, praying for a sister, interceding for them and seeing them come to where the place they need to be. Isaiah says, when the watchmen are on the wall, they'll intercede for the people and the people will be saved from the attacking forces. When Peter's in jail, first thing it says is that the church comes together and begins to pray for him. And they're praying for Peter. And they're praying for, this is a funny story when you get it, because they're praying for Peter's release, right? Peter, the door's just open. An angel leads him out. The gate's just open. And the outer gate opens. And Peter walks out of the inner jail cell, through the jail, out through the doors that just open, out through the gates that just open. And Peter's knocking on the door of the place where the church is praying for him. And a little servant girl comes out, opens the door, sees Peter, and shuts the door in his face. Why? It must be a ghost, because Peter's in jail. We're praying for his release. Here they are praying for his release, but not being able to believe that he's released. Amen? We don't want to be like that. No, they were doing the right thing. It's just, was it Rhoda? Was that her name? When Rhoda opens the door and sees him, I forget the little girl's name or the teenager's name. She's like amazed. Our prayer was answered. There he is. Slam the door in his face. Right? Listen, I want to be amazed to the point that we slam the door in somebody's face because God answered the prayer. Oh my gosh, he's here. Right? I mean, let's just get excited about it. God moved. God tells us to pray for our nation. He says, after we turn from our wicked ways, he will heal our land. Intercession always moves God's heart. You okay? I'm going to finish this. You okay? Okay. Praise God. Look at Job 42:10. This is amazing. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Job lost everything. Job lost his children. Job lost his wealth. Job lost everything. Job is a man sitting on a potsherd pile, the dung pile, scraping his boils with broken pottery. His wife says, curse God and be done with it. His friends come, and they're not the best friends in the world. They try to cheer him up, but they don't know what to say, and they're just a mess. Do you know when Job received everything back? A double of everything that he... Do you know when Job received it? When he interceded for his friends. When he stopped getting mad at them for the counsel that they were giving to him. When he stopped judging them for the things that they were saying that he didn't believe, when he begins to pray and intercede for them, Job gets everything back. Now, I don't understand. Well, no, I don't need to go into that. I don't need to tell you what I don't understand. Let's just know this. Job got everything back when he prayed and interceded for his friends. That's powerful. There might be things in your life that you don't have. Things God has promised you. Things God has poured into us. Things God has said. And we haven't seen it come to fruition. Why? Because we're holding anger against somebody that we should be praying for and interceding for. You mean God wants... Do you know what they did to me? Do you know what you did to Jesus? And he hung on the cross for each and every one of us. I'm just saying. When did Job receive everything back? When he prayed for his friends. When he interceded for them. If we want to win against the powers of darkness in this world, we need to be united and work together. This is the key, church. I'll start to close with this. This is the key. This is what God gave me last night, about 10:30. This is the key to what I'm speaking about this morning. If we want to win against the powers of darkness in this world, we need to be united and work together. The enemy understands the power of intercession. He knows he can't stand against it. He understands how it is multiplied by unity and togetherness. That's why he's kept churches apart this past year. That's why he's kept churches in California. I don't even know how they did it. They closed for a year churches in California. Thank God for Pastor Jerry Dierman, who got these small home churches together and who put this out for other pastors to be able to do. He taught them how to start these small groups in homes so that these churches could meet, these large churches could meet in the homes of different people. Thank God for that. He understands how it's multiplied. He understands, and he's trying everything to keep it from happening. He's trying everything to keep us apart. If you're watching me online and you're saying, well, I've got this or I've got that or this is bothering me, or that, listen, I just want you to know that's the enemy. It's the enemy. It's the enemy trying to keep us apart. It's the enemy trying to damage what God wants to do in us and through us. And so what's the enemy going to do? He's going to try to cause all fences to rise up between us. He will put fear in our hearts about the COVID and about any other thing that will keep us separate. He will keep us busy on our own fronts. He's going to keep us busy fighting our own battles so that we can't come together and fight the battle with someone else. You know what happens to an army that's fighting all of its own battles? They are defeated quickly. But when those men and women can come together and back one another up and stand with one another, don't worry about what's coming at me personally. I'm going to fight with you, brother, and then after that, you're going to fight with me, and we're going to see complete victory. Then we have the victory because we've come together, because we're united in our purpose, and because we understand what God is doing. And so we fight together on a unified front and not all these other fronts. Israel is an amazing example of this. I forget what war it was. Three nations come against them. They're coming from the north, they're coming from the west, and they're coming from the south. And the reason why I bring this up is because God fights for Israel. Seven-day war, thank you. And we, well, the last time we were in Israel, 2007, our guide was on a kibbutz in the south. Because the armies of Israel were so tied up with those in the north, those two armies in the north, this little kibbutz, if you know what a kibbutz is, it's a community. Israel has them all over the place. It's a community where people work together to raise their food. They live in community. This little kibbutz fought off the entire Egyptian army in the south by themselves because the soldiers of Israel had to fight the two armies in the north. And they held the whole Egyptian army off during that time. You tell me that God doesn't work when we're unified. You tell me that God doesn't give us victory when we come together. And we're sitting in churches today and we're wondering why we don't have the victory. And we're sitting in churches today wondering why these things are allowed to come against us. It's because I want to tell you what, the one thing that the enemy has done over these last 18, 20 months is simply separated the church. Simply separated us. Praise God that he's going to give us the victory in these things. Amen? He will give us every excuse in the book to why our coming together cannot happen. But do we want victory? Amen. Amen? Do we want to see the things that the Bible says will take place in our gathering happen? Yeah. Amen. Do we believe that God will answer our prayers when we pray them together? Do we believe that our prayers will move God's heart and change the situation? Yeah. If we believe those things, church, and we want those things, then we will do whatever we can to make sure that we come together as much as possible. And we will pray for our leaders. I think I've already told you today, I need your prayers. I'm fighting on a lot of different fronts today. Some of that my own fault, some of it not. Some of it things I could dole out to others, and I just refuse to do that, and I need to do that. Okay? But will we pray for each other? Will we intercede for our brothers and sisters? And then I ask you this, will you be honest to let us know what you're battling so that we can stand with you? And that we can intercede for you. That's a huge one. 1 Timothy 2:1. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. As we pray for each other, our love for each other is strengthened and formed. We see this in Paul's prayer for the Philippian church. Listen to what Paul says about his love for the church that he's praying for. Philippians 1:3-11. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Always in every prayer of mine, making request for you with all joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains, and Paul's in prison praying this prayer for people he loves. In the defense and the confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how I greatly long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Oh, that we would love one another like that and pray for one another like that. And it brings glory to God, lastly, 2 Corinthians 1:10 to 11, whoever delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that we still that he will still deliver us, you also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. In other words, as we pray for one another, as we love one another, we bring glory to God because people see that in us. They will know you are my disciples by the way you love one another. Church, we have the victory. It is promised to us who pray. He says, we shall overcome. Church, we have the power. It is released through God's Holy Spirit in us. We just need to take the time. We need to make the time, and we need to make the effort. And if you don't know how to make the time and the effort, take OSL Level 1, or go back to OSL if you've taken it. Look over your stuff, because we teach you for a whole month how to make the time and for God so you can pray and that you can put an effort into serving him. But I guarantee this, intercessory prayer will change us immensely. And God will have his way in this congregation and in everything that we do if we are willing to intercede for one another, love one another, and care for one another the way that we are supposed to. I'm not saying that's not happening. What I'm saying is we have allowed the enemy to bring a division between us that God wants to put back together. Amen.